What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Train Smart Podcast. On this episode, we've got Tom Castro on. Before the episode starts, I wanted to quickly apologize for the slight little bit of echo you guys will hear coming out of me. I actually dropped this in the editing software and tried to get, you know, a lot of this echo to go away. I was able to get some of it to go away, but not all of it. And this podcast was just too good to just basically throw away and try to redo. So nonetheless, I apologize for the little bit of an echo that you guys will hear out of me, but enjoy the podcast with Tom MF and Castro.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Train Smart Podcast. I'm Nick Young, the host and lead instructor of Velox Training Group. And as always, we've got Max Gates here, the co-instructor and host of the Train Smart Podcast. So today, I am super excited about this particular one. And I think this one's going to be a doozy. So oftentimes in training, you know, I think you will get a lot out of training with someone that you possibly disagree with. And this person that I've got on today is kind of goes along those same exact lines, right? I think, you know, our initial, interaction with each other was like, he basically disagreed with some of the stuff that I said. And then we had civil chat as adults do. Which made me more interested in some of the stuff that he had to say. And then I ended up hosting him. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I got out of his class was really good for me. And so I wanted to talk about that stuff, at least in the very beginning. So on this podcast, Tom Castro, thank you for coming on, my man.
Yeah, brother, I'm excited. It's been, we've been trying to do this for a while.
I know.
Guess that's what happens when you actually work for a living, right?
Exactly. I hate being an adult. I should have introduced you as Tom MF and Castro. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the one, baby. Let's get it.
So our initial kind of interaction with each other, I kind of want to talk about that because I put out a video, just I think it was like a draw video. Like,
yes.
About the scoop draw. Yeah. And I think you did an entire video on it. And I was like, oh no, because like people were sending me this, and I was like, all right, so like I sent you a message, like we kind of went back and forth, and you know, at the end of our interaction, I was like, oh, this guy isn't being a turd, like he's just saying what he thinks, right? And which made me more interested in you. Neither of us got offended, and that's also something that I've learned about you is like if it's training or shooting related, you are not going to get offended.
No, there's no feelings, dude. It's real simple. It's what's faster and what's more efficient. And it doesn't have to be my way. It doesn't have to be your way. It's just another way of doing things. And if it works for you and it's just as efficient or just as consistent, go baby, go, like, go get it. Like, and then mix in something else here and there and see if you can. Basically, training is supposed to be, it's supposed to be no feelings. When you go off your feelings in training, you're guaranteed that you're always going to be held back. You have to go off the time and what works. Like there is no feelings in shooting. Unfortunately, in the training world, there is, but when it comes to actual shooting, it's not supposed to be about that. So like when we had our first interaction, it was never personal. It's never personal when you talk about shooting. And that's exactly. Just me. I don't make it personal. I never attacked you as a human being. I didn't know you at all. And honestly, the video that you made was really good. There was just a shit ton of missing information. And at that point I had, well, we had this conversation. When we had our conversation, you're like, Tom, it was a 1 minute video on Instagram. There's only so much information you can give. And I go, you got me 100% correct. You can't give all the information. The problem is when people see those videos, they go, this is the law. He showed it on Instagram. And I go, there's so much missing in that video that he's going to explain later. And it's the worst part of social media because it's like, guys, you can't just assume what he said. Message him or wait for the next video.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And you weren't the video I made. You just happened to be the last guy that I saw in like six videos that was just kept irritating me about like people were doing their draw videos and just sending it and they weren't seeing any sites or even commenting about the sites. And like when you and I had a conversation privately, you were like, oh man, I'm seeing my sites. Like I'm just getting a flash of red or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay, that's the part that like we were missing, right? Like our communication that we never had a conversation about. That's the part that I was missing on your post, right?
Well, I think, you know, the thing that I appreciated about our interaction is like you were not emotional about it, Adam. And I think far too often people look at stuff and they go like, oh, I disagree with that one thing. And I'll bring up one thing that you say a lot. I want to dive into it later up front, but like people are like, oh, he says don't cross your feet. And it's like, sure, that's just one thing that he says.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care. Like, even if I disagreed with that, I would still listen to the other stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I actually had a conversation with a guy in a police department. He ran their training program, and he was talking about you. And he was like, yeah, man, we'd love to have him, even though he says don't cross your feet. Like, I'm actually looking forward to hearing the explanation because I disagree.
There's a ton of words missing in that. Dude, I swear, crossing your feet is your scoop draw video. Right? Like, it's exactly the same thing. Like, I say, don't cross your feet while shooting. And they just go, he said, don't cross your feet. I said, you're forgetting the rest of that while shooting part. Like, I don't care if you cross your feet. It's while you're pulling the trigger and what it does to the gun. Like, and it's like, guys, there's a whole, like, that's not even a lot of words that you're missing. You just didn't use any of them.
Yes.
It's like crazy how many people just make shit up. Again, it's the emotion, right? Instead of going, I'm going to go try what this guy says. It's nope. It's bullshit. I don't like it. It doesn't sound good.
Why do you think people disagree with like certain techniques without exploring them on their own? Because it's pretty evident that people will do things and talk about it. And it's like, I don't know. You watch them demo it and it's like, yeah, that's not even the thing, man. So it's quite obvious. That like you haven't put a whole lot of thought into this or tried it on your own.
Ego is a motherfucker in this sport, dude, or in shooting in general. Like, as soon as a guy gets a gun, they're the baddest person on the planet. They're like, I could take a life with this. And it's like, man, the ego has to be tucked away when it comes to training. This is why I said feelings are a problem in shooting. It has to come down to, okay, I am willing to throw away what I've learned for the last 5 years. I met people at the summit that we just attended and said, holy shit, I have to completely redo what I've been working on for the last year because what you just said has completely, I shaved off 3 seconds and now I have to start all over again. And I don't even know what I'm doing with this yet. I go, welcome to real shooting. Like it has to be thrown in the garbage sometimes. And that's why they don't want to do it. Like, okay, you are extremely good at the scoop draw. If I was to tell you that the scoop draw was less efficient, just because I don't want to try it. That's not true. The scoop draw is way faster than a pluck draw, right? But I have to be willing to take, let's see, 8 years of what I do and then start all over again and do your draw, right? Mm-hmm. Who wants to do that? I don't want to do that, but I will if I have to. Does that make sense? Like if I turn around and look at all my training and I go, man, I'm losing because of this draw, I'm going to start over. But most people won't do that. This is why they buy guns. They're like, man, the Glock, this and that. And it's like, well, okay. Maybe if you just learn to shoot better, it wouldn't matter what you shot. Now we're hurting feelings. Now we're getting dirty.
Yeah. I think like a lot of the movement stuff comes to mind for me when, you know, when I think about like, all right, people talk about a lot of things, but don't really try it. And it's really evident when you see it, but like, I think one thing that came to mind for me specifically is like when you and I trained together, by the way, like I'm not just saying this because he's sitting here, but like Tom is an absolute shooting nerd. Like you were coming in for a class on Friday. We're like, hey, when I get off the plane, can we shoot? And I'm like, okay, I like him already, right? But like some of the stuff that you were showing me with movement where you were like, hey, stab that foot through the ground when you're entering on that target. I was thinking like, dude, that seems like it's going to jar the sights like crazy. And I could have just been like, nope, Tom's a crazy man. I'm not going to try that. But instead, like I did and saw immediate results. And it's like, okay, like that's all it takes for me. And like, now I'm going to go try it.
And then he showed up at another class a week later and said, hey, Max, you should try this, and fucked my flu weekend.
So like the biggest thing for me is as an instructor, and I'm sure you've seen this before, and actually, I'm sure we'll dive into this later, like a little bit about the experience that we had with shooting together at the summit. You have to have big huevos to tell someone else who's already a good shooter that they suck. You have to be fearless, like absolutely fearless as an instructor to look at somebody who's already good and say, hey, man, this will make you better. It's not easy. It's not easy to look at. I mean, I had an experience this weekend where one of the students asked me right in front of Ben Steger, who's one of the best shooters on the planet, and asked me, he goes, what would you do to fix Ben? I go, I hate his exits. Like, said it right to Ben's face. I said, I hate the way you exit this right here, this, this, and this. I said, you're so good at shooting, but this right here is actually like would make you better if you weren't a good shooter, right? Like, I also look at the way I coach things, the way I train things or teach things is like your average person doesn't shoot as much as one of your best shooters on the planet, right? Like Ben shoots a lot more than most people. So he can get away with more because he understands or is really locked into the gun like most people aren't. So like when you start like saying something to a top shooter or somebody who's got a lot of talent, somebody who coaches for a living like you, it's like, okay, how's he going to handle this? Like, do I continue pushing this or do I just go, cool, you got it. You're already an expert, right? So like you get to a crossroads with students where you're kind of like, man, if you already got it all figured out, I guess I should be in your class. You know, like that's, there's those moments where you just learn it's not, they don't want to hear it. You know, just you stop hitting them over the head with it. But like someone like you, it was like, I knew from the very beginning, just our conversation after with the draw, it was like, okay, super open-minded. Like we're going to get along great because there's no emotion. There's no, like, you told me I wasn't good at something. It's like, yeah, I did. Like, yeah. And if I did something shitty, I would hope that you would say, hey dude, like this wasn't good either, you know? So, and I think that's kind of the key with you was like, as soon as I got there, I was like, all right, man, I can't wait to get there because I'm going to show him everything that we've messaged back and forth about that he disagrees with. I'm going to show it to him. Like, I don't have to tell him. I can physically put him on it and go, feel this. Here's your timer, yada, yada, yada. And it was like, well, I walked away from that practice like, yeah, dude. Okay. He's gonna suck for the next 6 months. I love it. Let's get it. And we hadn't even done a full class yet. Like the class was coming up. That was just like a little taste of like, it's a lot easier for me to explain it to you because you were kind of, we had already had a lot of conversations. You do a lot of research. You're on the range all the time. So like when I said something to you, it wasn't like, I'm like, hey, listen, stop, like put one foot in front of the other. It was a lot more like you basically got like advanced immediately. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a change immediately as soon as I started trying some of the stuff that you were talking about, which, and that to me, it's like when I see that type of thing, it's like, yep, I'm on board. I don't need to see anymore, man.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's what I'm going to go do for the next 6 months. I've had a very similar situation. Like, I forgot how many years ago this was, but like Joel Park texted me or shot me a DM on Instagram and was like, hey, you, I don't know if you know this, but you look like you kind of suck. Like you're okay, but you have some things that awesome. Need to work on. And I was like, dude, I actually appreciated that, especially coming from someone who I know can shred. Right. And you know, in the long run, it's helped me a lot. It's, you know, so I think, you know, good information can come from places that, you know, oftentimes you would disagree with. I think that's a really good thing, actually.
Yeah. I mean, again, the ego is usually the problem, right? Like that's where it runs into is where if you can take that and put it in your pocket or man, if you could just kick it out of your life, it'd be amazing. But you know, everybody who's competitive has to have an ego, right? You have to have some, you have to believe you're the man, even if you're not the man, right? There's no way to be great at things like this unless you have self-confidence and you're confident in yourself going into matches or whatever it is you do. Like you have to have confidence in yourself, but when it comes to training, you have to take that ego and that confidence and get it out of the way and be like, look, this is actually holding me back. Like, you know, it's okay to be terrible at shooting when you're training. Like, and if you're not terrible at shooting when you're training, you're never going to get better. And sometimes you get those blinders on where you need that outside view of, hey, look what you're doing here. Like, look, mm-hmm. There is another way to do something. You're only stuck in your way of doing things. Like, and I think we all get there. Like, because it's, again, it's hard to stand outside and go, hey man, why, what do you mean I'm not good at this? I've been practicing for 8 years. I should be amazing at everything. And somehow this sport or shooting in general just kind of kicks you in the nuts and goes, hey, you got a lot more to go.
that ego thing, it's like that quote, ego is the thing that deadens the pain of stupidity. Totally agree.
Oh my God, that's really good. That's a shirt all day. That's a Verloc shirt, not a V-Lock shirt.
Jordan will love to hear that.
Jordan will definitely hook that one up.
I'll get it back here. I think it's worth mentioning that the forum in which people have these discussions is important, right? So ego is the root of it. But Instagram, people are keyed up on all social media to be on the defensive all the time, right? Because it's all built around emotion and it's built around drama, especially these days. So I think people are keyed up to be defensive on Instagram. So when someone reaches out, I mean, and I'm guilty of it. You know, I'll hesitate to say something to someone just because I'm like, there's no way for me to word this where they aren't going to feel like I'm attacking them. And like I'm not. But I think people are they want to look at things in a negative light because they're used to Instagram being negative and seeing all the attacks bullshit out there. So I think that's never a great place to start. And I think if people did these things in person more often, it would be more productive, but that's not the world we live in. I mean, I'm not going to apply to every single person and have a conversation with them in person.
Well, you know, Max, I'm glad you brought that up because honestly, my conversation with Nick, and actually it changed the way I do things now. So like if I disagree with somebody, I will either message them and try to have a conversation with them. But like what I did with Nick, and I don't remember if I did apologize or not, but I was like, yeah, man, there's some stuff missing. Like in that conversation, we had a great conversation back and forth. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to conversate with that person before I ever make a post. Like that could have been a completely, like the funny part is instead of it just being a conversation and then having maybe a podcast or a little conversation together, it turned into everybody's like, hey, Tom's talking shit about you. And it was like, no, Tom's not talking shit about Nick at all. Tom was talking shit about content, like about shooting. I never said Nick's a piece of shit, never said none of that. But everybody's like, oh, look, he hates you. He's talking shit. I'm like, that's just because you guys want to see people fight. We were at the summit this weekend and I cannot tell you how many students come up to me and go, well, these guys don't say this and they disagree with this and they disagree with that. And I looked right in their face and I go, I know, that's why I'm here. And they just looked at me like, what? I go, yes, this is not a think tank, guys. Everybody works differently. We're not all here to just say the same shit. Like, that's why I'm here. This is why I'm in this summit right now, is because I don't say what they say. I don't do what they do. And you notice how none of us hate each other. None of us are like Tom sucks or Nick sucks or Ben's wrong. None of us think like that. We all understand how this works. It's you guys that struggle with understanding how this works.
Well, you know what it is? People take it as a personal attack. And the way that you look at it and the way that I look at it is like, no, I'm attacking the idea, not the person. And like, I've actually been accused of this before where like, I'm not going to say any names, but like we've had like a conversation and then I'm like, I really disagree with this thing.
Yeah.
Blacked out the name, posted it up and then like wrote a thing about why I disagree. And then it was like, oh, why do you hate me? And it's like, dude, I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about the idea. Yeah. Like, why do we have to get so emotional and get so, you know, attached to our, it's almost like that's our complete identity. And I think that's opposite, man, of what it should be.
I think a lot of people want your space too, right? Like this, like they want your followers. Oh, sure. They want your space in the market. And what they don't realize is there is no space on the market. There's a room for all of us. I think a lot of people forget how small this industry is. Like coaching in general, there's only a handful of coaches that I'd go see, bro. There's a shit ton of them. But there's only a handful that I would say I would want to go see. Mainly for the conversation we're having right now. Like I can tell you right now, I've seen instructors that I'm like, nah, I'm too close. Dude, the crossing the feet thing. I have lost so much respect for other instructors because of how they responded to me, how they attacked me, how they were like, oh, this is bullshit, man. I cannot tell you how many people I'm like, yep, cool. We're not associating anymore. Like, I've lost respect for you because you're closed-minded. It's not. And the reason I know you're closed-minded is because when you tell me it doesn't move the gun or it doesn't do this, I'm like, you haven't tried it. Like, you haven't tried it. There's no way you can argue it, dude. Like, you don't have to use it, but you can't argue it.
I think you just hit the nail on the head on a lot of this. I think a lot of the animosity comes from big chunks of these people that are getting in fights and reacting negatively are not genuinely in this industry to get better in this industry. They're not doing this to get better. They're doing it to get internet clout or to build their own little business or whatever. They're not genuinely, their intention is not to get better. I think the summit that you guys were just at, I think a lot of the folks that were there, I think most of those people are in it just to get better, right? And because they're in it to get better, they have built a business essentially as a side effect of that, right? Like, it has just come, if you build it, they will come. They genuinely wanted to get better. They got really good. The students came. I think there's a lot of people that came into it backwards, right?
Yeah.
They started a training company. They got just good enough to get Instagram content produced, and then they're trying to protect that as hard as they possibly can. So that's why they see it as an attack, because you are attacking their internet clout, and all they have is internet persona that they built up. So I think it is genuinely a difference in their approach to the industry. Some of these people are not interested in getting better at shooting. They're interested in getting better at Instagram.
You can see it. You can see it at the summit is a great example. All the instructors want to shoot. Like, so when I was done with my block, trust me, my block, I was pretty beat up. Like, I just came back from South Africa. I just had a class in New York, and then I go directly to the summit, like back to back to back weekends of crazy training, shooting. And I shot and I shot and I shot. And one of the guys goes, hey, I thought you were done. I'm like, yeah, I'm shooting now. Like, I'm not working. It's my turn to shoot. And I'm like, I don't like what was I supposed to do? Like, you think I'm going to go sit at the damn Airbnb when there's an opportunity to come out here and keep shooting and learning and trying new things? Yeah, you're crazy. Like, I'm here to shoot, baby. You know, and it's just like, you can tell. You can see the guys that want to shoot, and you can see the guys that are like, cool, man, we're hanging out with the boys, which is great. But like, if I can shoot and hang out with the boys, I'm down for the shooting part over hanging out with the boys. I'll do the hanging out with the boys later, like when the range time's over. So you definitely see that a lot. You kind of see that in a lot of people's content. You can see the guys that don't compete or don't coach a lot. You know, you can see, you know, I think you're on the money, Max. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that, right?
I've said it before, but I feel like it's not really known how much or like how many instructors actually like to shoot. I don't think it's many. I don't like, and it's not me. Like, I'm not trying to be a hater, but like, I recently went to this place. Tom, you've been there. I'm not going to say where, because I don't want to get the dude in trouble. But like, at lunchtime, he's like, hey, do you want to go shoot this stage with me over there? I'm like, hell yeah. So like, we go shoot the stage at lunch. I don't know how many times we shot it, but we came back and he was like, do you know how many other instructors agreed to go shoot the stage with me? And I'm like, no, how many? And he goes, you and Tom.
I love shooting, dude. It's I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm old and decrepit and can't do this anymore, because this is a mental thing for me too, man. Like, all of life disappears. Like, all of life disappears when I go to the range. I have a family and I have a business that I run, and I'm constantly getting messages and so on and so on and so on. And man, when I hit the range, it all just disappears. Like, I went to the range yesterday. I'm pretty beat up, physically beat up. My body's just like, hey, dude, like, you've been doing this really hard. And I went to the range yesterday and I was like, oh my God, what an amazing life I lived. Like, I shot 1,000 rounds yesterday. And I was just smashing the gun, learning and just working on things, just like moving. And I'm just like, dude, let's go. Like, how could you be mad being on the range like this? Like, and then there's guys that just don't even go to the range. It's like that are teaching. I don't know. I, you know, it's an interesting dynamic out there that, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that coach that just don't really like shooting. They're just doing it for a living, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think it's easy to see it too. Like when guys are teaching, it's like, it's really easy to see who likes shooting and who doesn't, because the guys that actually like shooting have really relevant things to say and creative things to say because they are actually experiencing that stuff.
Yes. Well,
we've talked about this a lot. It's very clear the guys who have developed these strategies and these tools on their own on the range versus guys who have just taken it from classes that they've taken, you know, 5-6 hours a year. And that's it. They just roll that right into their class. And that's the guy who was just buying tools to build his business. He's not going out and doing it on the range to figure out what actually. And I think it makes a difference. I think you're starting to see some of that get weeded out here and there. It'll still pop up. I mean, it's never going to go away. But I think some people are getting better at picking some of these things out.
Yeah, the misinterpretation is the other thing I noticed. Like, that was a big thing at the summit. Like, I have a lot of students that come to me that, obviously, the summit is PSTG and those guys. A lot of these guys, you know, come see each other. Like, they'll go to Nick's class, they'll come to my class. They obviously, they're members of that, or they go see Ben and all these guys. And I can't tell you how many people misinterpret the information that's being given. Like, we'll just start with doubles as a good example. I can't tell you how many people take one sight picture, two shots. And I'm like, pretty sure that, well, first of all, I don't do that, and I'm not going to allow you to use that. And I'm pretty sure that they don't do that. So I'm sitting in Wansik's class, and I ask him, I said, all right, man, so condition one, confirmation one for these sights, do you have sights? And he goes, yes, every time. He goes, just a flash of red. I go, okay, that's not what people hear at all. Like, when we're having a conversation, okay, and I'm just like, holy shit, guys, like, listen to what these instructors are saying. Like, I noticed that he changed a lot of his verbiage to get people to start, you know, stop skipping words, right? Like, a lot of this stuff they're having to simplify because people just aren't hearing the whole phrase, such as don't cross your feet while shooting part is missed out on. You know, it's like, they're like, bro, he crosses his feet. I'm like, I don't care, he's running, you could cross your feet all you want.
All right, well, I had that as a question later. Yeah. But I want to, let's cover that now. Tom, you say don't cross your feet, and it's a topic that comes up all the time online, and to me it's very interesting, because before you and I met, I was like, I don't see a problem with that. To be honest, like, I cross my feet all the time. I shoot track day zone, I cross my feet, right? It's not really an issue. But it wasn't an issue until you showed me exactly what you were talking about. And so I think, you know, online, obviously, on, like, especially Instagram, it's like, you don't have enough time to explain exactly what you're talking about or show exactly what you're talking about. It's a really shitty platform for that. So I wanted to dive into, like, some of the nuance and kind of minutia about what you mean when you say don't cross your feet, because it's not don't cross your feet. It's don't cross your feet while you're shooting, and what that does to your hips, at least the way I understand it.
So the biggest thing about crossing your feet is, first of all, the way I've always thought about shooting, and as I got better in shooting, I started to pay way more attention to my body than I did the gun, because I was really good at shooting the gun standing still. And then I realized, like, man, why do I suck when I'm moving with the gun? Like, pistol, rifle. And I started with a PCC. So, like, that's where I started to learn how to shoot, was with a rifle. And we all know how a rifle works when you're moving. If you are moving with a rifle, the gun is going to go crazy because it's fully connected to your body.
Yeah,
what most people
harder.
Yes, what most people don't realize is they go, oh, rifle's easy. I said, okay, start running around with one. And then let's talk about it. Because if you're actually good with a rifle, you would go backwards to a pistol and think, wow, this gun's so much calmer. Yeah, because you have basically a gimbal in your arm. You have a buffer between your arms. So, because it's not connected to your actual body.
Dude,
so when
I'm
you
stealing
start,
that. Yeah. I'm stealing yeah, that. I'm writing yeah, that down right now.
Absolutely. It's 100% a gimbal, dude. If you think about how, like, a camera, like, the gimbals work for cameras and videography, you have that gap in between and it kind of softens the blow. It doesn't stop the camera from moving or the gun from moving, but it gives you a little bit of a buffer so the gun doesn't have to bounce around a lot. When it's connected to your body, if every step you take, it's full, just absolute pressure from your foot all the way to your head, the whole thing's going to move. Well, you put a gun in your hand with that, it starts jamming all over the place. Well, once I started thinking about footwork, I started realizing like, oh, okay, if I can bring my feet underneath my body, that changes the dynamic of how the gun moves. Now I don't have big steps. Now the gun is softer and I can shoot way faster. And then I started to find out, like, if I get my feet outside of my shoulders because it felt faster, I was actually having all these makeup shots. I would go from 18 splits on the move to 30 splits with a rifle with supposedly no recoil. So then I started experimenting, like, all right, I keep exiting on these targets and I keep getting bad hits every time I would exit like a specific target that was in front of me. And I realized I was crossing my feet, like, especially what, cause I learned how to move and shoot with the rifle. So anything that was basically to the left of me while I was going left to right, I would have really shitty fundamentals with the rifle. I'd start blading like a bow and arrow and I'd get really bad fundamentals. I'd start losing how I'd hold the gun. So then I was like, all right, it's because I'm turning my body. So I need to stay square to the target as much as possible. Well, the only way to shoot square was to cross my feet. And then I was like, all right, why am I constantly getting an Alpha Charlie, Alpha Charlie, Alpha Charlie, Alpha Delta, Alpha Delta? What the hell is going on with this? And then I just started doing drills of, all right, I'm getting giant steps. And every time I cross my feet, my hips wanted to throw me to the right with the rifle. Amazingly, I was getting Charlies and Deltas always to the right on those targets. So I started breaking down, like, if I bring my feet closer and I take, basically we'll just call them baby steps, where my heels and heel and toe almost touch each other, I could basically shoot behind me with the rifle and never cross my hips. And I mean, I was just pounding alphas, like, just, it was like almost no effort to aim at all. So then I started realizing, like, okay, it's because when I cross my feet, the body, upper body and the lower body don't want to work together anymore, even though I have to, right? Like, it's forcing me to crisscross the gun with my hips. So I kind of started thinking, man, if my body goes forward and backwards and the bullets go straight, I want to try to stay that way as much as possible. If I start going left to right, now I have to add an aiming element into it. Now I have to fight how my body naturally works. So I always use this example in class. When you walk up to a couch at your house, do you ever side shuffle? Do you cross your feet to walk around a couch? No, fuck no. You just turn your hips and you walk around it. So why do we do all this extra shit with a gun in our hand? Because we're retarded. Because we think, well, we got a gun in our hand, we got to do something special. If you keep it natural as possible, then you just think forward and backwards as much as possible. Hips turn, body moves that direction. It's pretty crazy how different it is. But again, I had to take the gun out of my head and go, okay, what does the footwork do to the gun? And that's when I made my biggest changes in movement, because I stopped thinking about the gun. I knew how to shoot. Everybody I've ever met knows how to shoot. Why do they suck when they start moving around? It's because they think about the gun instead of what's making the gun move around and bounce.
I love it. I think that was good. All right. Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate, Tom.
Sure.
Just because I know that some people will think this. It's like, well, can't I turn my hips and make the upper body do something completely different and still get good hits?
100%. And this is where people really just screw up with this conversation. I've never said you can't shoot when you cross your feet. I did it for years and years and years, and I kept getting inconsistent results. So what I always try to tell people is, if I can't do it consistently, I don't want it in my shooting. I don't want it in my shooting. That's all there is to it. It's not about whether I can and can't. Dude, there are moments in shooting where I absolutely have no choice but to cross my feet. Now, here's where most people make a mistake. They think they're gaining distance when they're not. So what they'll do is they'll draw the gun, they'll pull it up on a target, and then they pause while they're crossing their feet. What they don't realize is all you did was shoot the shit on one foot. You didn't actually gain any distance. But they're like, but look, I'm crossing my feet. Until your left foot, let's just say we're going left to right, until your left foot gets over your right shoulder, like past your right shoulder, you technically haven't crossed your feet. Like, I can stand with on one foot and pretend I'm falling to the right. I haven't gone anywhere, so I haven't crossed my feet. Crossing your feet means when both your thighs touch each other and your left foot gets over your right foot and touching the ground, or almost touching the ground. Once you get past center, that's when you've technically crossed your feet. But again, people are like, I can do it. Watch. And they just fall. They just hold. They pause. And I'm like, you didn't move. You just stood there. You just shot on one foot. That's not the same thing. But again, trying to explain this to people that have never tried it, like that don't want to try it, it's a waste of time. Like you either want to try it or you don't want to try it. And I can't tell you how many people think when you're walking forward and the camera's angled at your side, they're like, look, you're crossing your feet. I'm like, that's called walking forward. Look at my hips. Like my hips are facing the way my feet are going. That's not crossing your feet, dummy. Yeah. There's so many arguments over this because people don't understand what crossing your feet actually is. That they're arguing something they've never done or never understood, right?
Well, I see a lot of is like oh, he's crossing his feet on stage, and what now that I know you and I know what you're talking about, like I don't have to answer for you, but like I do sometimes. It's like but he's not shooting right there. I know that's what Tom would tell you.
Yeah, that's the thing is like I don't care about what your footwork does when you're not shooting. Like if it's faster to run backwards, I'm doing it. Like if you told me, Tom, run backwards, like we all know it's not usually faster, but if you told me to run backwards, I'm fucking doing it. Right.
Yeah.
So like if I'm shooting my gun and I see the gun do this giant uncontrollable dip because I cross my feet, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to train that out of my shooting because I already know that there's going to be a chance that I could have a bad shot. Now, what most people don't understand is crossing your feet isn't really the issue. It's that you can't respond or see what the gun does while you're crossing your feet. And so what you thought you saw, and when you responded, you're already in the Charlie Delta by the time, like you saw the flash of red in the middle of the target, but the dip of the gun, because you crossed your feet, threw you into the Charlie and the Delta. That's where I was getting inconsistent results. I'm like, bro, I'm pulling the goddamn trigger in the middle of the A. Why am I missing? Oh, that's right. My body is throwing me into the Charlie.
That's one thing that I wanted to bring up too. When you and I were training, I want to say it was like when I was entering into a position, man, we had like crazy targets, like that little tiny.
Yeah. Your range sucks. Yeah.
25, 30 yards. Like you were entering on that thing and you were like, you're missing it because you're never coming to a stop. And like, I would cross my feet coming into the position and basically glide into that position. And you're like, no, just like stomp your outside foot and come to a stop. But it was then when I realized like, oh, that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
With the crossing the feet thing is like, I don't perceive the dot to be moving around the target, but it's still moving because my body is still moving and it's harder to hold the gun on the target.
Yeah. When you cross your feet, the gun basically does a U shape. So like you're on the, let's just say you're on the middle of the steel. And I tell people this a lot in class, look at your dot, like stop trying to shoot and just stare at your dot, which I know people like, don't look at your dot. If you don't look at your damn dot every once in a while, you don't know what the damn thing's doing, right? So if you're trying to hold it on the piece of steel and you cross your feet, the gun's going to do a big giant U shape. So there's two choices you have. You either eliminate that or, you know, because there's going to be some movement no matter what kind of entry you have, but you can eliminate that big U shape and then the gun will just bounce around, or you have to allow that U shape to happen and then hold, which now costs time, consistency, all those different things. You have to have more patience. What I teach is you need less patience because you're going to be ready sooner. And then it's just respond as soon as the gun lands or whatever it is. But the U shape, no matter what you do, if you cross your feet on the entry, you've got two issues. You got up and down and left to right. Because when you cross your feet, your body leans left. Let's just say we're going left to right. Most people are right-handed. Your body's going to lean to the left and it's going to dip down. So it's going to go left down. So that means you got to go back to the center and up at the same time. You have two different things that are going on there. Plus you trying to shoot fast, you name it. All of that shit going on at one time is why you have a miss on your entry.
Yeah. And this is something that I think happens a lot with people. At least it was happening with me. And when you told me this, I was like, I don't know why I didn't think about that. But I think feelings get involved in I'll speak for myself. Like the stuff that I was doing, it was like, oh, like I'm entering into this position really softly. It feels very soft and it feels like I can shoot a whole lot sooner. But you were like, no, you're not shooting sooner. You're actually shooting later because of the things that you're doing with your feet. And then I'm like, hey man, I'm all ears, dude. So like you showed me something completely different, which if I'm being real with you, I was like, this makes zero sense when you said it.
Yeah, perfect.
But then trying it, and then I looked at the timer, I was like, okay, like that was a half a second faster. I can't argue with that.
I think feeling is, dude, you said it perfectly. Feelings. If like, because it felt like you were doing something, you felt like you were controlling it. That is the problem with shooting. You should never, the emotion of feeling it like, oh man, look, I'm controlling it. You don't control shit. Like you do not control gravity. If that was the case, you would never fall over. Nothing would ever fall. You just be like, stop. It doesn't work that way. The gun is always going to have gravity. It's always going to have a bounce. You always have that. Your body has a self-defense mechanism to soften the blow. All those like your body's telling you when you come in really, really hard and then you hit the brakes, like, hold on, you're going to hurt yourself. You're not. It just, your body thinks it is. So when you get that, like bend your knee and then slowly stand yourself up, you just move the gun off the target. And those are the things that you have to emotionally take out of shooting. If you feel really, really fast in shooting, like everything just looks like a blur, you're already screwed. You let the feelings of shooting, the emotion of I control this, I can go fast. You're done. You can't shoot that fast. The sights tell you what to do. You control your entries. You control your exits. You physically can stop your body whenever you want. It just doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel like it's faster.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate again because I've read a lot of comments and I know what people think about this stuff. Some people would say, well, I can get away with entering like that on an open target, 10 yards and in, but a mini popper, I have to enter differently on it. Or something like that. Cause it's like, I can't get away with it. I've heard you talk about this before, but like, what are your thoughts on that type of mindset?
I love it because this is why I beat you. The mini popper is actually bigger than the A zone on a piece of paper. The crazy part is the piece of paper is worth 10 points when the popper's only worth 5. So we take a target that is people assume is easier and we say, hey, it's worth less or it's not as doesn't take as much effort. It takes exactly the same amount of effort. It's actually worth more points and is twice as hard because you got to do it twice. Now here's where I go with the scoring part. How many times can you get away with it in 24 stages, 21 stages? The reason why you're inconsistent is because you can't get away with inconsistent behavior. Every time you enter a piece of paper, it should be exactly the same. Every time you enter a piece of steel, it should be exactly the same. Shooting is shooting. Your entries are your entries. Your exits are your exits. So the reason why you're inconsistent is because you have different techniques every single time you enter a position. You look at one and you're like, oh, that's a 5-yard target. I can just send it. Well, guess what happens when you just send it? By the time you get to your third target, you go, man, maybe I should start aiming. This is not going so well. But if you entered on that first piece of paper, like it was a piece of steel or a head box, and you go in and you have the same entry, same mindset, same attack mode. Like obviously I don't shoot slow. I'm attacking the first target just like I am the last target, but I'm going to enter it as if it was my last target of that array. That sets me up for consistency. Listen, one of my biggest mistakes or one of my biggest problems I had a few years ago was consistency. So what I did is I took an entire year and I lost match after match after match trying to figure out consistency. Now, the reason I lost match after match after match was because I just slowed down. I was like, okay, I need to slow down a little bit. Like maybe I need to just, maybe the speed's the problem. Speed was never my problem. Problem is I didn't have techniques that I could repeat over and over and over again, coming into positions or exits or transitions or all those. I mean, I had the shooting skill. I just didn't understand how to put it together on a stage. And that was like the biggest thing for me. The change for me was like, okay, I need to focus on the first target should feel like the last target of every array. And as soon as I understood, set myself up for the first target, calm, and then let it rip. Oh my goodness. Did the consistency take off, bro?
I think that's the difference between B class and M class more often than not is figuring out what is consistent and what is just something that's essentially a party trick, right? Like, yeah, it can work 5 out of 10 times and it looks great in your video. But you know, if you shoot one M class classifier and then the next three are C's and B's, you know, did you really accomplish anything?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you mentioned it earlier when you were talking about exploring crossing your feet and now talking about it here. I think figuring out that balance of consistency and speed is where all of this ends up landing. It, like yeah, you may sacrifice something here, arguably, but at the end of the day, if that's you a more consistent outcome, maybe that's the one to go with. Especially if, you may be able to cut half a second here, like I said, but then the next stage, you're going to gain a second and a half because you have to reshoot something. What did it really get you?
I think the problem is the perception of what they're sacrificing is the actual issue. Like the techniques that I teach make you get ready sooner. And people think, oh man, I'm not shooting as fast as everybody else. I'm like, no, you're not shooting as fast as everybody else. You get to shoot slower and still be as fast as them because you're going to start shooting earlier. You're going to come in calmer. These are the, like, I'm not the fastest guy. I'm older than almost everybody on the super squad. I think there's only a couple guys that are close to me. I'm 46 years old, dude. I was the oldest guy in the world shoot squad, right? I'm competing against 20-year-olds and guys that have been doing this 20 and 30 years. So like, I'm the oldest guy there. And I'm looking around, I'm like, dude, this is pretty awesome. Now I'm the old guy. Like I'm the oldest guy trying to do this and compete with these guys. I'm never physically going to hold up to them anymore. I'm 20 years past where I should be to be competing against these guys. Like you guys got like Brantley and I mean, JJ has been doing this 20 years. You got all these dudes that have been doing this shit for way longer than me, way younger than me. Somehow I'm still able to, hang with these guys and bang. It's because I understand I have to be smarter than them, right? Like I have to be smart. I have to play the game smarter. I can't play the game more physical than them. I'm not more physical than them anymore. So it's like, those are the things where if you start understanding, if you have the physical and you start playing the game smarter, it's wild. Just shooting in general, if you play shooting smarter and start thinking like, okay, this is less efficient. This is more efficient. I hate this, but this is definitely better. Like I talk about the draw all the time. Like I have a technique that I teach, like you don't move until the gun is in your hand and and the target's like, I have a stage where it's always gun first. You can't score points without the gun in your hand. And people just look at me like, yeah, but you're facing the wrong direction. I'm like, I can't shoot without a gun. Why do I care about running to the stick? And they just look at me like they're like I'm crazy. And then I draw and I shoot a 1 second draw. And their draw is 160, 170. I'm like, guys, you don't understand. I'm already a half a second faster than you. And I didn't go anywhere and you guys ran farther than me, but you're just getting your first shot. I've already shot 5 shots and it is like mind blowing for these people to see that. And I'm like, you can't shoot without a gun. You can't shoot without bullets. And it's like, it's hard though, because it doesn't make sense, right? Like I got to get to that spot and it doesn't make sense. But once you start understanding how the game works, the fastest guy, now remember the first word I used was fastest. That means time is number one. With the best hits to the last target wins the game. Most people, as soon as they start making mistakes, they take the time and they throw it out and go, I got to get better hits. But what they don't realize is if you don't go fast and you don't push your speed, you'll never be great in this game. You'll never be great at shooting because time isn't why you make mistakes. It's because your brain hasn't caught up to how fast you're doing it. Period. Like we don't do anything in life as fast as we shoot. Like imagine if I walked up and I said, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you, Tom Casher. I threw my hand out you in a 1 second, like a 1 second draw. People be like, what the hell's wrong with this dude? That's what I'm telling you to do when you go to the range. Imagine opening a door handle in 1 second. Like we don't do any of that stuff. So then you go to the range and I'm like, all right, now do that. I wonder why you suck. Like I wonder why it's hard because you're not used to it. Your brain is in slow motion, right? Super slow motion. So the more you push the speed, the more aggressive you are, and you basically accept that you're going to suck as you get better in shooting, is the better you'll get at it. Like, cause all of a sudden that 1 second draw is like, dude, Nick, when you scoop draw, when you get the gun on the target, you're like, oh man, this is so easy. Like you don't, and you're drawing way faster than a second. But like, if I was to told you to give me a 120 draw, and I said, draw as fast as you can. And then I want you to hold until 120. You're like, do, 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 and boom. And you're probably still at a 113, yep. Right? That's what people don't understand. It wasn't like that when you first started though, right? Like your scoop draw, when you first started, it was like, and you were like, what the hell was that? Right?
Yeah, it's actually something that I wanted to bring up with you. So, like, I think it's an interesting topic to talk about because I think a lot of people wonder about this. Like, that was so fast. How did you do that thing that fast? Did you see anything? Like, you hear this all the time, right? And it's like, well, yeah, I practiced going at that pace, right? Like, I think Ben and Brantley's block at the PSTG Summit was like a good example of this particular thing that people should be doing in their training. It's like, put open targets up close and learn how to address those things without any sort of tension. And it's like, well, how do you get rid of the tension? Well, you start inoculating yourself to the way that that speed feels, right?
Yes.
If you can learn how to go 100 around a turn, going 75 around the turn is kind of easy day.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, you know, I would think about for match day, right? So like training should be faster. Is that something that, you think about and try to conceptualize in your own training too?
Work on it right now. So like I noticed that I have right before World Shoot, I got really stuck in, like, I was like, man, I just feel like my transitions suck. Like, what is going on? Like, that's been a huge strength of mine, is being aggressive, exiting on the trigger. Like, I'm a big trigger guy, so I pay a lot of attention to like sights and triggers. So when I break the trigger, like, immediately leave. I don't screw around. Like, the sights gave me permission. Let's go haul ass. And I caught myself like, cool, I got my second hit, like seeing a hole. And I'm like, well, where the hell did that come from? And it was like, oh, don't make mistakes. Like, mentally, I got stuck with like, all right, cool, don't make a mistake. Don't make, like, what in the hell? I've never shot like that. So right before World Shoot, bro, I got after it. I started picking up the speed, like just trusting it. And through training, like literally within two sessions, I was done looking at the target. So now I'm in speed mode again. I'm like, oh, baby, we got some meat on the bone, dude. Like, let's get after it. So like, I've been really smashing it lately and I'm getting the same exact results, like getting great hits, great alphas. Like, okay, I'll get a Charlie here and there, but I'm earning them now. Like before, if I got a Charlie, I'm like, what the hell? Why did I get it? Oh, you suck. Let's go faster and get that Charlie. And it's been really, really good, dude. But again, it was like, I had to pay attention to that. I had to like look at my own training and go, why am I losing on these? Like, what? I feel like I'm behind off the pace. Like, I should never be off the pace. I shoot fast. I'm aggressive. I move. I have that like hamster wheel on fire in my head. What the hell's going on? Oh, you're being a bitch. You're trying not to lose instead of trying to win. Right. So that was the biggest thing for me, is like pushing the vision, like getting, I've been practicing a lot of long distance stuff, right? So like long distance makes you not push as hard. And now I'm like, all right, let's bring the targets in again. We'll throw some far shit out there, but I want a lot more like 10, 15 yard, like let's get after it kind of aggressive attacking, like a lot of steel too. Like I love steel training, love steel, because it's hit or miss, right? There's no like, oh, cool, I got a Charlie. It's like, bitch, you hit it or you didn't hit it. And then the sound of the steel, I use a sound a lot in my training. Like if I'm being aggressive on steel and I have I can see the steel and hear the steel when I shoot it, I've been standing around on it too long. So I should, the steel that I hear, I should already be onto the next target or moving to the next target. And if I hear the steel and see the steel at the same time, I wasn't aggressive on the trigger.
Yeah. Well, you brought up an interesting thing about like shooting longer distance, and like what I see when people do that or when they talk about it, it's like it's almost like they'll put stuff at longer distance just to try to figure out how to hit it.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like the whole slow down and get your hits thing. It's like, I don't think that, I think that's almost worse.
Yeah.
I don't think you figure out much at all doing that stuff, though.
No, I think you should be shooting the far targets, just like you're shooting the close targets. Obviously you're not going to be able to get away with as much. Like you're going to have some speed difference. You're not going to be able to shoot it as fast because you need less of a sight picture on steel. And what I mean by that is you don't have a pretty dot on a 5 yard target. You get a flash of red. We got a new guest in the podcast, I see.
Yes. Sister-in-law's puppy. Super cute, but he's trying to be really loud.
Yeah. Big love the small dog. Yeah.
The biggest problem is when you get to long distances, they treat it like a harder target when it's just sights and triggers still. It's the same exact concept. So if you can shoot a close target at 18, why can't you shoot a far target at 18 if the sights tell you to? And I think that's where most people make their mistakes on distance, is they treat it like a distance target instead of just another target.
It's a mess. Yeah. People overconfirm because they get in their head.
Yep.
Well, to me, it's like what you told the one dude out at the PSTG summit, where you were like, you got to have the huevos.
Yeah, you got to go get it. You can't be afraid to make a mistake. And I think that's like, I look at mistakes a lot differently than other people. I teach it differently. I think it's a good thing. If you make a mistake, as long as you're learning from it, it's not a mistake. The biggest mistake in shooting is when you look at a mistake and you go, or you make a mistake and you go, oh man, I shot a Charlie. Oh shit, I shot a Delta. Instead of going, why did I shoot that Charlie? Why did I shoot that Delta? And did I earn that son of a bitch? Like, oh dude, I just shaved 2 seconds off the stage and I had a Delta here. Okay, you just shaved off 2 seconds. What would it have taken to get an Alpha there? How long would it have taken? Would it have taken you a full second? Would you have like aimed harder, or why did you make that mistake? And if you have an answer on how the mistake happened, you just got better. You just trained, because the next time you shoot the stage or a stage, you're going to focus more on what made that mistake, which will prevent it.
Yep.
You know,
and to me, it's like, if you're just sticking all alphas in your training and you're like, hell yeah, brother, bro, I'm doing the thing. It's like, I mean,
yeah,
you're showing yourself that you can do it, but I'm not so sure you're actually getting better.
So my goal is 10%, right? Like I look at training, and I never train one rap magazine, right? Like I train 4 mags at a time. And the reason I do that is I'm looking for a consistency and a pattern. So I will have like, I'll run like mini stages. So yesterday I threw out 6 targets and a shit ton of steel, right? So I would shoot 4 mags, which is basically 80 to 90 rounds. And I would go to each target and I'd be like, all right, cool. I got 2 Charlie here. Yeah. Okay. I swept this one a little bit, or my vision was kind of shitty. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't focus on the grip on this one. So 2 Charlie here. I'd go to this no shoot at 30 yards and I'm like, oh yeah, baby, that was good. Okay. That one high when I called that, but it was in the high Charlie, almost an A. So we're good there. Good. That was a great pop, you know, picked a great spot here. Okay. My vision was really shitty on this deal. That's why I had a miss here. Then I go over to this target. I'm like, all right, cool. All alphas. And I go, okay, this tuxedo here, the group's a little shitty for out the distance. I need to pick up the speed and really focus like driving that spot. And I walk out and I'm like, all right, cool. 6 Charlies out of 90 rounds. I fucking smoke that. Let's go faster. Right. Like, but if you just go one magazine, you're like, what pattern did you get? Like, or even if you just do one stage run, what was your pattern? You're like, cool, I got all alphas. Yeah. But what if you could have done it 3 seconds faster? How will you know if you don't do it, if you don't push it and then start seeing what your results are? Exactly. But so I'm a big pattern guy. I love creating patterns on the targets and then going, okay, this is, I'm sweeping this target really, really bad. So I need to clean up just this transition and then run the stage again. It's, you know, training is a lot different if you understand where the mistakes come from and you can identify them. A lot of guys just go out and shoot bullets. Like shooting bullets is a total waste of money. If you can't tell yourself what each round did, especially when you're done shooting, like 100 rounds in, I can tell you like, yep. I remember this one. You know, I am kind of retarded about shooting though. So.
Well, Tom, when I go out and shoot all alphas, I do it just to make my self-image more positive.
Yeah. That self-image is important, dude. You got to tell yourself you're the man, even though you're D-class, you know,
like, that's right. You
know. nothing better than that.
So you've got a couple of things in your classes that you talk about. You don't have to give away a bunch of stuff if you don't want to, but you have some things like you'll say like gun first or spot to spot or bullets first. Like I hear all these phrases. Is this stuff, I'm assuming that you came up with your own training or in your own training, but like, how do you evaluate this stuff?
Timer, baby. It's real simple. The timer. So like one of the things I teach is gun first. So like it's where I learned this is actually a step in draw. So I started understanding really quickly, like, okay, this feels fast. And in my training, I realized if it felt fast, I probably sucked. Like it wasn't a good thing. Right. Cause when I first started with the rifle, man, I was falling out of bounds a bunch. And like, I was just like, oh, I felt so damn fast and aggressive. And then I shot against Max Leogranis, which any of you guys who don't know who that is, look him up. He's only one of the greatest shooters on the planet with a rifle. And I shot against him once and I was the only one on the squad falling out of bounds. And I'm like, dude, how is this guy kicking my ass? And I'm being way more, well, I looked way more aggressive than him. And I realized like, oh, I suck at this. Like I feel good. I feel like the man, but he's whipping my ass. So I went back and I started training. I'm like, okay, why do none of the top guys fall out of bounds? Like now you got to remember when I started, the drop step was a big thing. Like we all know, anybody who knows what the drop step is, it's a big waste of time. It's basically jumping up, turning your hips and then landing and then running. You only do that if you get outside of the center of your body and your body takes you the opposite direction. So when I first started, man, I taught the drop step. Like I had a whole class of 10 people jump up, turn and run. You know, I was teaching this stuff, right? So I started realizing like I had a bunch of inefficiencies in my time and I started attacking that stuff. So on a step in draw, I started realizing that I couldn't shoot when I was in bounds. I was in bounds for, you know, over a second. Like my draw kept being 130, 140, 150. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why is this draw not getting faster? Like I'm really stepping in quickly and getting in bounds. Why can't I get a faster draw? And then I realized that the reason why my draw sucked is because no matter what you do as a shooter, if you actually care about getting your hits and consistency, is I needed time to process the dot. My brain had no problem with movement. Movement was easy because you do it every single day. But when I would step in, if I drew and the gun was still in the holster, I would draw, hold on the target for whatever movement the gun was doing because my body was still moving. And I had to wait for the gun and then I could pull the trigger when the gun stopped in the A zone. Or you did a crazy, like, I can't repeat this draw, and you just fucking whipped into the brown and shot shit. So what I started doing is like, all right, let's see what it's like if I draw my gun, I have my sights pushing to paper, and then when I step in, could I shoot this on 1 foot consistently? And once I started realizing like I could get a sub-second draw from starting out of bounds when I stepped in because the gun was already up, is when I go, oh, I'm on to something. This is a problem for me in all kinds of areas in this sport, is I'm not getting the gun out soon enough. I'm not making the gun the priority. I'm making the movement the priority.
And so, sorry, I didn't want
to. No, go. You're good.
When you say like draw the gun, step into a position and shoot, he means like 6-7 feet away.
Yes.
Like I've seen it.
Yes. Yes. Because you can't shoot. Well, here, there's two things that happen when you move, when you try to draw the gun. You don't get a good draw because you move the gun. So like the other thing about the draw is, and this is something I've learned in shooting, if you can have a singular focus, you will do it extremely fast. So if I was to tell you to reload and run at the same time, your reload's going to suffer. Your running's going to suffer. But if I told you to draw the gun as fast as you possibly could, and as soon as the gun is out of the holster, you have permission to run. Guess what you focus on only? The running. Like it's 100% running mentally or 100% the draw. If you mix them together, 50% goes to the draw, 50% goes to the running. Guess what? Both suck now. the 50%. It's 100% effort all the time. So if you're going to draw the gun and you put all of your effort into drawing the gun, you're going to have a draw that's a sub-second draw. But if you step and draw at the same time, movement always takes over because that's what we do naturally. We naturally move forward, backwards, left and right. We don't naturally draw a gun. So the way I explain it in a class is imagine running full speed and trying to write your name. Guess what's going to suffer? Not the running. Until you start to draw your name, then the rough running's going to suffer and your writing is still going to suck. You're basically going to slow down and start walking to draw your name properly. Now that means both of those things slow down to accomplish both. As soon as you start comboing those kind of things, movement always takes over. The draw suffers, the aiming suffers, the shooting suffers. But well, you had to stop thinking about shooting for me to figure that out.
this is where feelings, to be quite honest, like fuck people pretty hard too. Mm-hmm. And as you really see it on reloads, like people will try to bury a reload in the movement. And it's like, yeah but if you just reloaded real quick in a step or two before you left, you would have reloaded faster and you would have ran faster. And they go, yeah, but the one time I stuck it, it happened really quickly. And it's like, yeah, but what can you do consistently? Yeah. Like, can you run at full speed and reload full speed? Maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that you need to work towards, but like, I feel like that's probably not a good way to attack it.
Yeah. Imagine smashing a 1 second reload and you took a quarter of a second off your time to move. Like, so you waited a quarter of a second. That's it. 0.25 is all you paused for to get a 1 second reload. When you get where you're going, the gun's ready, you're ready to shoot, versus delaying the reload, running as fast as you can out of the position. You get halfway and then you now take a full second just to start to reload because the gun and you have to slow down to line them up, right? It's like, this is where most people, they just, they won't sacrifice a quarter of a second at the beginning. They'd rather waste a full second because it feels faster. And I'm like, that's where the problem is. Your feelings are in the way. It's not about how you feel. It's about the numbers. So the stage that I design is there's an 8-foot wall from a reload. And really, you go about 5 feet and then you better have your gun up, because as soon as you get to that 5-foot mark, by the time you got the gun up and you got your sights on the target, the steel's going to clear. It is a 2-second advantage if you focus on the reload first and then get the gun up as you exit. 2 seconds. But most people want to run so bad because they're like, but I feel fast. And then they run to the front spot and then they just hose 12 shots of shit because they're like, well, they're all there. I got to get done with these. Well, what if I was told you that if you focus on your reload and get the gun up early, you could just walk and shoot shit and you're going to be 2 seconds faster and you're going to get better hits. It's really hard to get people to feel that, right? Because they're like, but I don't feel fast. This feels so slow. I said, good. It's working. It's working. The shooting is supposed to feel slow. If the shooting feels fast, I guarantee you're failing in your shooting, because you can only shoot as fast as your sights tell you to. Hold on. You can shoot with no sights, but for success, you have to shoot with those things. They kind of make a difference. That's why you spend all this money to put them on your gun.
Yes, there is a scoring zone on those targets that does, in fact, matter.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe. I don't know. Just, you know, a shoulder hit is death, right? Like, it's so bad. When you see guys walk off with 4 deltas, I got all my hits. Let's go. I'm like, yeah, your success rate's good. That's terrible.
So I want you to talk about the crash and settle. This is something that, you know, I'll be honest with you, man. The first time I heard it, I was like, this is crazy talk. You want me to crash into a position? Like, that sounds like the opposite of what I would want to do. But after training with you and actually, you know, being in front of you and talking with you about it, like, it actually started to make sense.
And this is what ruined my weekend.
Nice. Good. So I will tell you that you don't control gravity, right? So gravity is a part of our sport. It's part of life, right? So if I throw a ball up, it's going to land no matter how hard I want to, like, no matter how high I throw it, it's always going to land. So the way I kind of explain the crash is, and this is an entry technique for anybody who doesn't know what it is. Imagine like you're getting ready to run into a car right in front of you and you hit the brakes. When you hit the brakes, the car nose goes down. Well, guess what the gun does when you do the exact same thing when you hit the brake? So as you slow down to enter a position, the gun's going to crash and drop. Well, if you were to let go of those brakes, kind of swerve out of the way of the car that you're about to hit, or person, or whatever you want to call it, whatever works for you mentally, if you let go of those brakes and you just kind of let go and you don't even have to hit the gas pedal, that car is going to smooth back out. The gun does exactly the same thing. When I figured out that I couldn't control the gun, that the gun was going to bounce no matter what I did, and I said, okay, cool, let it do its thing. Let's see what it looks like. And as soon as it smoothed out, I could just rip. I mean, just rip, because I processed the information. This is a big part of my class that a lot of people don't understand, or what a lot of people don't understand about shooting is you need processing time. The younger you are, the faster you process, the older you get, such as myself at 46 years old. You need time to process the information that's coming to you. So what happens when you run into a spot, which is where most people make mistakes, they shoot, they go spot to spot. I go shot to shot. So I don't care about getting to a stick. I care about when I can shoot the next target, which is shot to shot mindset. So I'm running 100 miles an hour. I pick a spot on the ground and I crash. So I land, hit the brakes. It's a pace change. I let the gun go down and just bounce around in the A zone. And as soon as the gun smooths out, I absolutely just start ripping. The crash is a bunch of different stuff that people don't like. It's hard for people to understand because they don't know what it means, but the crash is a pace change. So I'm going to slow down and get into shooting, basically the shooting speed that I know I can shoot at. Takes practice. Maybe you go practice it and you'll see what I'm talking about. Also, I'm focusing on getting the grip. Like, I'm coming into this position and I am just hammering the grip as if I was standing and shooting. So I have a perfect grip every time I enter. And then it's just let the gun bounce, do its thing. And then it's processing time of let the gun rip when the sights tell me to shoot. It's really that easy. You just have to go try it. So it's picking a spot on the ground is key, though. What most people, and the biggest argument I have with the crash is, do I have to look at the ground? Yes. why do I have to look at the ground and why it's as important is consistency. If I look at a target, my eyes get sucked into that target, I'm going to start slowing down and want to put the trigger gun on it. If I look at the ground, I can focus 100% effort. Like I said before, it's all about 100% effort, whatever you're doing. If I can make it a singular thought process, it's way easier. So 100% to that spot, right before I get that spot, gun up, grip, crash, let the gun bounce, gun on target, ready to go. And I can repeat that every single stage, every single entry. It's what makes me consistent.
Well, I think you bring up a good point there, like actually looking at the ground. I think that is super important, especially in like shooting something like a match. Mm-hmm. Like how many times have you shot a match where you're like, okay, the only place where I can see that target through that port is if my left foot is right by the nail through that piece of wood. So like when I come back, my eyes are planted on that freaking nail through the piece of wood. And it's like, all right, I need to stick my left foot right there as I come into that position. Whereas I think a lot of people might stage plan it like, oh, I just need to be somewhere over here. And it's like, then they get there and they're like, shit.
Now then you see the shift.
Yeah. And it's like looking at the ground and looking to where you want to go is definitely a thing for sure. So like when you describe the crash, basically what I conceptualize in my head is like hauling ass to a position and then stepping on the brakes. And then that settle thing that you talk about after the crash is me allowing myself to process like when I'm supposed to shoot, not just when I want to shoot.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge problem that people have coming into positions. They shoot when they want to shoot.
Yes.
Not when they're supposed to shoot.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the time too, I think when you do that, it's like you're the first shot might be a little faster, but you're stepping over dollars to pick up dimes because you're shooting Alpha Charlie or something on a friggin' 5 yard.
Well, it's unpredictable. Target. Yeah. It's unpredictable too. Like you don't know what you have. Like how many students were, when you were in the block, how many students did I say, what'd you get on your first target? And they're like, I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, I wonder why you, and then again, three targets later, when you start missing the piece of steel that I put out there to sucker you in, and then you go, shit, maybe I should start aiming. Well, you just shot two deltas getting to that piece of steel. You didn't find your sights until you were already in the spot. When I gave you permission to shoot sooner, faster, and more accurately without having to try harder, I gave you that opportunity and you said it's not that important because it doesn't feel fast.
And dude, it's almost like... Like I've noticed something similar too, where if I just set up like just a regular vanilla transition target, people shoot. And it's like, dude, I knew you were going to miss that steal before you even got to it because you screwed the pooch on that partial.
Yeah.
Like you were like, fuck it. I'm just going to send Alpha Charlie at it. And it's like, but when you got to that steal that's a little further away, you said the exact same thing because that target that you just shot set you up to miss.
Yeah. If you don't start aiming at the beginning, you don't figure it out until you've just blown the whole array. So imagine like a stage is kind of like pockets of points, right? So like my first array on my first stage is 10, 20, 30, 35 points. So imagine just bombing that section and then you run to the left and you're like, all right, I better start paying attention because I'm pretty sure that first array sucked. You just throw 35 points in the garbage. And then you run to the left and you're like, all right, I'm going to focus on what I'm supposed to do. Dude, you've already dropped 35 points. So like, just imagine if you had all mics on that stage or all deltas. Cool. Like 35 points wasn't that important. But if you started, like the first target was, if I start aiming on that, I start calm on that, the rest of the array is going to be crazy fast and crazy calm because I started with the first target. The first target is what I call the setup target. That is my calm down. Get a perfect grip, let the process start. And once that happens, then I'm like, let's go. Like it's a giant like woo-saw moment every time I enter a position. I come in, crash, I go settle, let's fucking go. And then I just crush because I'm visually driven. My grip is perfect, but I'm calm. Like I'm not trying to shoot fast. It's just happening because I'm doing the things that I set myself up for success. But boy, is it hard to get people to go, but I could run to that stick really fast, dude. I'm like, yeah. And as soon as you expose seven shots, guess what you're going to do? You're going to outshoot the gun because your only goal in this sport or in shooting in general, if you give somebody a goal, is to shoot and finish. All the other stuff in the middle gets forgotten. It's like, If you just focused on like the process, it'll be finished. You just aren't focused on that. You just want to be done. Like you beat the timer. They're like, what was the time? Like, you don't even know what the hell you did. Like, what, you don't know what the score was. You don't know what your hits were. What do you mean? What's the time? Like, you got a lot of stuff in the middle before you get your, timer, you know,
the way
is all the time.
The way that I had to change my mentality on the crash and settle thing was a lot more of the stop trying to fight gravity, like you were talking about, right? Like, so I was watching my videos, patting myself on the back because I was coasting into the spots really smooth, and I was shooting sooner because I felt like I was, you know, smooth, but I was trying to fight gravity as I was coasting into a position, right?
So when you hit the brakes, you just sent the shot, correct?
Right, because my knees were bent. I was real low. I was gliding in.
And like, you were telling the gun what to do no matter what.
100%, oh, yeah. Right? 100%. And I was like, I can see the targets. I'm coming in smooth. Like I said, watch the videos, and I'm floating into position just like I felt like I needed to. And yeah, the gun was smoother than if I had just crashed entirely through the position and skidded gravel everywhere. And so it was smooth, but I was telling myself I have to start shooting now because I can see the target. So I have to start shooting as I'm floating into the position. And then Nick was like, why don't you just stomp, come to a screeching halt? The world is going to shake like crazy for a half second, but then it's going to stop shaking and you can just start shooting. And it does feel, I shouldn't say it does feel slower. It feels faster. It feels like the world is falling apart for a second, as opposed to just, you know, coasting slowly into a position. But you reconnect to the gun and realize the gun is actually stopped. Like I'm in the position now. To your point, now I can just blaze instead of trying to like float the gun around and find my shots and fight gravity. Come to a screeching halt and then blaze. But it really was trying. It was disconnecting from that and realizing that I was trying to fight into this position because in my head I told myself I had to be smooth and in the video it looked good. And to your point, like I don't have 18-year-old knees either. And you've got 10 years on me.
Yeah.
You know, like there are guys who can do that stuff. I mean, Chris, there's a lot of, you know, 20-year-olds who have knees fresh out of the box who can do a lot of this stuff. I don't.
Well, one day they will have to have the realization that I had is, and these guys, like Christian's a good example, eventually injury is going to get him. And he's going to have to change the way he shoots. He's going to have to change his movement as he gets older, right? Because you just physically can't do what he does forever. He is so athletic. One of the reasons why he's great, there's so many. One of the reasons why he's great is because of his levels. He doesn't change levels. His level is super low. He's way lower than I am.
He shoots a stage at a deep knee bend.
Yes.
He's in
yes.
a squat the whole time.
Yes. And again, 20-something years old. He's got tree trunks for legs. So, and I don't wish this on him ever, ever, ever. I hope he never sees an injury, but it's just part of life. You're going to have to change that style because you can't shoot like that your whole life. That, like, I can't tell you how many guys. So we had a guy in our class in the summit named Pete. The guy's 6'4", something like that. He's taller, 6'4", 6'5". And he got 4 feet
super
tall.
Super good shooter.
Super good shooter. Got 4 feet tall every time he entered a position. And I actually posted it yesterday and a bunch of guys like, so what exactly is the crash? Is it to get people to stand up? I go, no, it's to get, well, first of all, if you're 6'5", be 6'5". Don't, like, do you want to be 4 feet? And he goes, no. And I said, then don't be. And then he turns and looks at me. I get him to stand up and he puts a figure eight in the target. And I said, he goes, wow, that was a lot easier. And I go, yeah. I said, dude, he goes, everybody's told me to get low. And I go, I know. You don't need to get lower to shoot better. You just need to have a knee bend, get to your heels, and that doesn't take much, right? You don't have to do all this extra work. Because we put a gun in our hand and we start running around with it, everybody wants to do extra work, right? Like all this extra stuff. They look at other sports, like swinging your arms when you run. They do that in sports because they don't have a gun in their hand. That doesn't mean you have to.
Well, right. The whole get low thing is like something that people say that no one's actually defined.
Yes.
It
drives me nuts.
It's just like transgender. We're like, what the hell is even that? You know, no one
will try
it
now.
No one knows what the hell it even is, right?
Yeah, it's a choice. Think,
getting low is a choice. But like, what does that actually mean?
So imagine every time you change levels, it's a half a second. So I do a drill in class where I squat down and I go, okay, I'm going to beep the timer and I'm going to stand up. And as soon as I stand up, I'm going to shoot the steel. And it's a 78, almost every single time it's a 78, maybe depending on if I don't let the dot completely stop, I'll get a 70, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's just say average it out the 3/4 of a second. And then I stay squatted and I beep the timer and it's a 16. Beep. Imagine I don't move at all. I just pull the trigger on the beep. Huh. I wonder if that affects my accuracy also. So like every time you drop, the gun goes with it. Now you have to anticipate when the gun's going to stop or settle again, or you have to, you're just going to send the fucking round. And usually when you send the round, you miss because you've already pulled yourself off the target. So imagine being 6'5" and you drop down to 5 feet. That is a foot and a half of dot movement. That is a foot and a half of, and that is a foot and a half that the gun is going to go from the middle of the target to the bottom of the target and then back to the middle of the target. This is where most people have a disconnect in shooting, is they think that the movement of your body doesn't matter. They're like, movement doesn't matter. It's moving the damn gun around. It absolutely matters. Why is it you can stand and smash alphas, but when you, soon as you move your feet, you get Charlies and Deltas? I wonder why. It's because you keep moving your body, which moves the firearm.
The doesn't matter thing kind of drives me a little batty. It's like, it kind of all matters at some point or another.
Yeah. I did a stance video yesterday and I posted it today on my YouTube page. And I can't tell you how many people, when they start moving, stiff up, they go straight up in the air because they're like, oh, if I lean forward, the gun's going to bounce. No. Leaning, you keep with your shooting fundamentals. Nothing changed except for your feet moved. So like when I show people they stood straight up when they're moving, they're like, oh, I felt that. The gun like really moved around a whole bunch. I said, yeah, because you're not keeping your fundamentals. The fundamentals don't change when your feet move. The only time your fundamentals change is if you make them change. Right? Like you start adding all this extra movement into the shit and you like all this control stuff. That's when the fundamentals fall apart. I tell people you shoot with a triangle. If you like, let's just say you put your hands together and you're shooting, the base of your chest is the bottom of your triangle. Soon as you start moving your shoulders around and you start turning your hips, it breaks that triangle. It's the same thing with a rifle. You have a triangle. You're just taking your right arm and you're putting the gun, your rifle in your arm. That's the only difference. If soon as you break those fundamentals of that triangle, the shooting goes to shit.
For sure. All right. Well, I got one last question for you. What does a Tom Castro practice look like these days? I know you got a Nationals coming up, so it's a little different, but.
So as I get closer to matches, I don't really try to get better. I am what I am as a shooter at this point before the big match. Right. So like I'll kind of, if you don't mind, I'll go backwards a little bit go to my PCC training and then I'll go to my, for the world shoot. So PCC, I completely started over with my fundamentals. I went from 8 years of like shit fundamentals on how I shot the rifle. And I was like, okay, I've got to go backwards a little bit here. I want to get better in the next 6 months. I had 6 months to get ready for it. I was like, okay, I want to like completely see where my flaws are. So I was super high with the rifle. I didn't really shrug my shoulders. I didn't really understand, like, I had a good pocket, but like, I didn't really understand like why I was getting some of my mistakes. I was just kind of muscling the gun a lot. So then I went backwards and I said, all right, let's start over. Let's start with the fundamentals of the actual mount and how it works. So I did a dry fire program. And when I created this dry fire program, I actually talked my way through the dry fire program while I was getting better. So as I was discovering things and learning new things, I was actually talking about it on camera. And I realized like, wow, I'm really good at shooting, but my fundamentals in rifle just sucked. And I was just good enough to get away with it. So when I started breaking that down, I probably had the worst training of my life that was making me better. Like I felt like shit after every practice. I would leave these practices and I'm like, man, I'm not really having fun. Like this is pretty miserable. Like I'm pretty terrible. Like I didn't realize how terrible I actually was fundamentally. And then I started all of a sudden, like, those fundamentals started kicking in and I stopped having to think about those fundamentals. And like, the mount was perfect on every draw. I started shooting things that I was really bad at. Everything was 50, 60, 100 yards with a 9mm rifle. And I'm like, oh my God, I went from shotgun blast to alphas and Charlies right on the edge of the A zone. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay. This is working. But I didn't know it was working. I had to have a friend tell me, like, dude, do you realize that you're shooting 50, 60 splits at 100 yards? When you started, you were at 120 and a shit ton of misses. I'm like, oh, I am getting better. I didn't feel like it. I just felt like I was terrible the whole time. I go to the world shoot and unfortunately I got sick, but dude, I got 13th place at the world shoot with a completely different fundamental setup. Like, I completely changed my shooting in 6 months on how I shoot a rifle. But 2 weeks before I went to the world shoot, I brought everything into 15 yards and I just hammered confidence, because for 5 months, I destroyed myself. I thought, I'm the worst shooter on the planet. Like, I'm never going to be good. Like, it was so bad. Like, I was really like questioning whether I was a top shooter in the sport. Like, did I deserve to even go to the world shoot? That's how bad I felt. And then my last 2 weeks, I said, all right, man, you are the shooter you are. Let's go. And I just went out and I just started crushing stages. Anything inside of 50 yards, dude, I was shooting 20 splits, 18 splits, 25 yards. I was doubled, ba-bom, 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 alphas, just crushing them. And I was like, oh my God, I've gotten so much better, dude. Like, the confidence that I had in anything from 25 yards and in was a joke. I was like, okay, I hope to God we see a lot of, yeah, they went to 50. That was the average target. But the confidence I had to shoot that match was unreal. But I had to give myself some time to gain my confidence back. So before I went to the pistol one, I did the same thing. I started working on long distance. I went and kind of kept the same mindset. Like, I'm going to get my ass kicked for a little while here and I'm going to work my way confidence at the end. And man, did I go into the pistol world shoot just with so much confidence. The issue is I probably should have practiced a lot more hoser shit. That world shoot was not what your average world shoot was. Everything was really close. Everything was speed. It took me 2 days to kind of figure that out. I was still in accuracy mode in my first 2 days. And it took me that third day to like, all right, let's go. We got to keep the pace here. And that's kind of where, you know, my world shoot, I kind of lost the world shoot, is I didn't keep the pace from the very beginning. I wasn't ready for that game. I was still in like, okay, we got to get alphas, right? Like, the longer distance shit, you kind of spend a lot more time on accuracy base than speed base. Like, obviously you add that, but the training changes when you start realizing like everything's hoser mode. Like, when you start hosing and you get into hoser mode, it's a different mentality. It's attack, attack, attack. There's a lot less, I'd say a lot less accuracy base, and it's more of a speed base, right? So like,
yeah, it's a completely different strategy.
Yeah. 100%.
So in like, order to attack those type of targets correctly or appropriately
for the entire match though. Like, that's the problem. It's not like they gave you some hoser and like, okay, here's a hard one. No, no, no. It was like hose, 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 yeah. Hose. I'm like, shit, I trained for hard shit. So again, I don't know. That's where the mental game comes in, right? Where you got to pay attention to this stuff before you get there. But yeah, I was, dude, my training is, I work really, really hard to suck for the first, you know, out 2 weeks out, basically, maybe a week out. And then I go back and I just work on my confidence, right? Like, you should go into every match just absolutely crushing. You should never go into a match feeling like you suck. You should never go into a match trying to get better. You're already better. If you didn't get better, then you didn't get better, and you are what you are. But you should definitely be, you should definitely go into every single match just, okay, I am what I am. I'm going to just go do what I do and not try to change it. Don't try to be something different. If you don't practice sub-second draws, don't try to do a sub-second draw at the match. It's not going to go well, right? Not going to go well. Don't move on no shoots at 50 yards if you've never practiced moving on a no shoot at 50 yards. Hell, don't practice. If you haven't practiced moving and shooting, the Nationals ain't the place to start. You know, I don't think that's going to go so well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's all about confidence, bro. When you go into a match and you have confidence in yourself and your abilities. And I tell people this, even if you suck at shooting, like you're not good, you're a C class, D class, like, and you're really struggling, you're just kind of learning shit. You're the best shooter on the planet.
C-class legends.
No, dude, if you're offended, you should be good. I hope you take that offense and you go to the range and you don't be a C class shooter. If you want to be a GM, you got to do GM shit, which means you got to go out there and practice the shit you suck at. But the goal is if every match you go to, every match, you should go in there thinking you are Christian Seiler. You're the best shooter on the planet, period. If you go in there thinking, oh, I'm going to mess up. Oh, there's a no shoot at 25. I'm probably going to hit it. You will. But if you go out there like, all right, man, sights trigger, let's rip. You'll do very, very well.
Big hippo energy.
Woo. That guy has zero confidence in himself. That's why he's not very good. If you ever look at the best shooters on the planet, ask them if they're going to win. They'll never say, I'm going to suck. Ask Michael Jordan if he ever was worried about a competitor. He was going to be like, nah, man, I'm going to go crush it. I'm going to go dunk on his ass. You know, I'm going to go drop 60 points. He didn't need anybody to tell him to be confident. You be confident in yourself. You know, even if you suck, like, I promise that confidence will carry you a long, 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 long way.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I've enjoyed having you on, my man. I appreciate you coming on. If people want to find you for classes, which they should do, in my opinion, where can they find you?
Website TCSAcoaching.com, TCSAcoaching.com. The other thing is you can hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, and then I will send you over that way. I shouldn't say Facebook because I hate Messenger. But Instagram's usually pretty solid, and then I can give you the information you need. But I got dry fire programs. I have pretty much everything I teach in a class on my online course. So there's lots of opportunities to get to me without actually having me at your range, but nothing beats a class, bro. Nothing beats a class. Everybody that's ever done the online course that I've met in person, they're like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. Like, it was pretty good on the video, but like, you can actually tell me where I'm not good. And I think that's important. Like, you can get the base, but until you get me there physically and telling you like, hey, this is where you're making mistakes. A lot of the class that I teach is mental. Like, think about it, Nick, how many times in our class in North Carolina did I actually talk about shooting? Very rare.
Yeah. It was right. Pretty minimal.
Yeah, it was very, very rare. I mean, obviously, I do a bunch of fundamentals and drills and stuff. But like, when it comes to shooting a stage, I almost never talk about the gun. I'm like, you know how to shoot. The shooting isn't your problem. It's the other things. Like, why are you good at standing and shooting but suck at the stage? It's because you're not paying attention to what actually makes you good at stage shooting. So, but.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate you coming on. If you guys have any questions for Tom, go ahead and hit him up on his social media stuff.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks.